This is The Heart of a Servant, an outreach ministry of Canaan Christian Center in Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Coming up on The Heart of a Servant.
That day refers to not just a 24-hour period, it's talking about a divine season.
Every person's heart has taken on some sort of shape over the years. Only the trained eye of the Lord Jesus Christ can accurately show us what shape our heart is truly in, how it got that way, and how to reshape it to reflect His. In his new book, Apostle Craig Banks takes you on a scriptural journey to discover true brokenness and humility, and the process by which Christ transforms your heart by reproducing His heart in you. Get the new release by Apostle Craig Banks, The Heart of a Servant, a Believer's Guide to Fulfilling Purpose, by calling 1-870-534-SERVE. That's 1-870-534-7378, or purchase on Amazon.com. And now, with today's message, here's Apostle Craig Banks.
Prophetic word through Pastor Cole was that we have come into the 11th hour paradigm shift. Everybody say that, the 11th hour paradigm shift. And so in this prophetic word, there are tons of things that are flowing out to me about this. And we share with you that number 11, if you steal a roll dice, it indicates that every time you roll 11, you win. And so in this last hour, God wants us to understand that we need to develop a mindset that every time we roll, and I'm not talking about dice, but every time you roll, to roll is to do whatever the Spirit of God instructs you to do. Every time you obey Him, you win. Amen. And so we need to expect that in this shift, this 11th hour paradigm shift, there are mindsets that's got to change. Amen. The way we used to do and the way we have been doing things, not that they were wrong or bad or that they were not productive, but in this 11th hour, things are shifting. And part of the, I'm telling you, the major part of the shift is that God wants to forge in every one of us an apostolic mindset, not just attending church, but an apostolic mindset. And in this shift, part of the shifting includes, is not just, as the prophetic word said, not just moving from one place to the next, but it is a group of people coming together and will begin to actually form teams to get things done, and more will get accomplished than they have done, than they have been previously. And so the paradigm, part of the meaning of paradigm is a new pattern to follow. And so church as it has been is shifting, and God has to shift His people before. But with the shifting, it's going to take personal cooperation, and every person has to make a decision. Lord, I want in on the shift. The shift is going to stretch you. Picture a rubber band. You take a rubber band. Usually when you get it, it's a certain size, but it is designed to be stretched. But the stretching feels like it's tearing. And there are some things that the Lord does want to tear away from you, but He does want to stretch you. Amen. And this is going to involve everybody, because everybody's got something to contribute. Amen. And so we'll share with you that in this 11th hour paradigm shift, there are some mindsets that are going to have to, that are going to expire. Some people and things will expire. And I'm not talking about people and things, you know, somebody dying. That means that the way we've been doing things has got to change. Amen. And so, again, this shifting is apostolic in nature. And it's going to require change in our attitude, change in judgment, change in position, which will result in a change of emphasis and a change of direction. Amen. It's going to require a change in our attitude. And some people won't make the shift because they're not willing to change their attitude. And you cannot get bogged down with that. The day of pulling on people to do what they ought to do, that ain't going to fly. Because there's too much to get done. And if Elder Jackson spends his time pulling on me to do what I should be doing, he won't do what he should be doing. That means somebody's got to feel both of our shoes. And it's like, I'm not going down like that. Amen. One of the shifts that's got to be made, you might want to note this, the Lord spoke to me, he said, one of the shifts that must be made is that the elimination of a rural mindset. The elimination of a rural mindset. This is a mindset that's comfortable with things the way they've always been. If somebody lives in, you know, it's like we call it out in the country. Not that there's anything wrong with living in the country, but I've noticed over the years, I've seen people that live out in rural areas and they'll move to the city, but they'll bring the rural mindset to the city. And it's not the same. It's not the same. You know, I've gone through little small places, you know, outskirts of town, and there's a house, you know, in this space between the houses, and you know, you look like all the kids still live at home. You know, little old bitty small house. We grew up in the house. I'm not putting anything down, but I'm just talking about from appearances. And you got 10 cars parked in the yard. Well, they moved to the city. Guess where they park? All up in the yard, because there's never been anything instead. That's the mindset. And the Lord said, you got to get rid of the mindset, a rural mindset, because you can be in church, you can be in the city and have a rural mindset as part of the poverty setup. To have a rural mindset is that I like things the way they've always been because it's comfortable for me. And I'm telling you, in this shift, it ain't about being comfortable. It's about getting an assignment done. And so it's going to make everybody uncomfortable. You say, well, you know, my plate's been full. Mine too. But it looked like other plates get added on. That's right. So instead of complaining about the plate being full or another plate being added, I've got to ask the Lord to enlarge me and increase me. Amen. So we got to get rid of that, because if you want to hang on to what's comfortable, I'm telling you, you're going to be left sitting in the dirt, and you'll look up and you'll be surrounded by darkness. Amen. So we've come into this this season, and it's actually a divine season. It's a divine season that God has already earmarked. He's already earmarked this. Amen. He earmarked it. And he called it the 11th hour paradigm shift. So we're not making this up. We're just saying what he has been saying. So since he's already earmarked it, he said that it's a season of expectation, a season of increase, a season of abundance and restoration on every level. But it's also a season where we have to fight. Amen. Amen. And so I'm not talking about, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. That day, if you're still praying that prayer, you need to grow up. It's time to wage warfare. Because, what did I tell you to go? I guess we better read that, huh? We're going to come back to Isaiah 54. Jeremiah, glory to God. Jeremiah 30, verse 2. Thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. We told you before, this is one of your assignments. What the Lord is speaking to you, you need to write it down for yourself. Write it down for yourself. Are y'all here? For behold, the days are coming. Now, this is in the day of Jeremiah. The days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back or turn the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Look down at verse 8. For it shall come to pass in that day. And that day is now. Psalms 102 says that the set time to favor Zion has come. In Jeremiah, God's speaking about a day coming where he will turn the captivity of his people. And we told you that turning the captivity means to restore or to restore former fortunes and estates. I'm telling you, this is the day. And he said, it shall come to pass in that day. That day refers to not just a 24-hour period. It's talking about a divine season. When it said, the psalmist says that the set time to favor Zion has come. That word time is not chronos. What's the other one? Kairos. Kairos is God's time. So in a specified season, chronological period, God's time lays over the top of it, or he invades that space to do what he's already said is going to happen. And I'm telling you, we're in that season. So it's a season. Everybody say a season. Now with God, seasons, he's the one that changes times and seasons. According to Daniel, he changes times and seasons. You can't change it, but the enemy can't change it either. The enemy will try to go around changing things, even get people to lie and become false prophets and all that, trying to change what God has said. But what God has said, everybody that tried to change it, they suffered a severe penalty. But when God says a season has begun, it doesn't end until he says it ends. And there's nowhere in the scripture that says that this one was going to end. So this is the day. Look at somebody and say, this is the day, babe. Okay, go over to chapter 33. We're having to bite it off a little bit at a time because you got to get it. 33 in Isaiah 33 in verse 7. And I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return and will rebuild those places as at the first. God's original intention is going to happen like it's supposed to have happened at the first. See, a lot of us, we've been stuck on, I missed it, I messed up, things hadn't gone right, I've never seen any fortunes and this and that. But the Lord said, I'm gonna do this and make it the way it should have been at the first. The Bible said God's mercies are new every day, right? Well, here's something you can hang your hat on and put a big smile on your face over, because the angels of God are ministering spirits. They're spirit beings created by God to minister to his family. We are his family. They are messengers of mercy. So God's mercies are new every morning, like a fresh loaf of bread. So that means the angels are ready every morning with fresh mercies to do business for his children. Yeah, start expecting it. Tell somebody else, say, we're not alone. Yeah. So when God says a season, the Bible says when the time was right, Jesus came. And you notice when he came, angels showed up. The heavens were open. So when a season changes, the heavens are open and angels start showing up. But you got to start expecting those things. It's not in your strength, because if it was in our strength, we would have already done whatever had to be done. We can't do it. Tell somebody that, say, we can't do it in our strength. But Jesus has already done everything. He's already done it. And so what I want you to get is that we are in this divine season. And God called it the 11th hour paradigm shift. That means things are shifting and changing. We are shifting and changing. But it's all for the good, because God is ready for what he has declared about our life. He said, I'm going to make it like it was supposed to be at the first. Glory to God. Psalms 126. Let me read it to you. You ain't got to go there. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The heathen, those that don't know the Lord, are saying, he the one did that. The only way that could have been done is God Almighty did it. The Lord have done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Anybody been crying? The Lord said, your season has come for the tears to stop. You were sowing. Sowing in tears is when it's hurting with everything you got to sow this. But you're working the principles of the kingdom. You're obeying God. You're obeying God. And weeping may endure for a night. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Something happened when he went. Something happened when he went with his seed. Good God Almighty. So, go to Isaiah 60. Lord, we thank you for this season. And the Lord told me, he said, son, the time has come to turn the captivity of Greater Pine Bluff and the region. The time has come to turn the captivity. The time has come to turn the captivity. Let me throw this out here at you. I want you to start allowing the Spirit of God to deal with you personally. Hear me. In every area of prejudice, every area of prejudice, there's racial prejudice, but there are a lot of other prejudice. You know, you got men that got problems with women, and women got problems with men, and got problems with children. Children got problems. All these prejudices. Allow the Spirit of God to deal with your heart. Ask him, Lord, show me where I'm prejudiced. Something that's unhealthy in my life. Show me. Because if you go and look at in the scriptures, in the book of Acts, the church at Antioch, it was multicultural, multiracial. These were Gentiles. They come from all kind of backgrounds. But they all came to Christ and they were saved, but they were in this church together. There was different kind of leadership. And that's where the phrase Christian first came from, because of that model. They say they're little Christ. They're little anointed ones. So we run around hollering, we're Christians, and we don't like other folks. That's a problem. Because we're not modeling what Christ has set up. Where did I tell you to go? Isaiah 60. Look at verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And we told you before that darkness that covers the earth are the armies of darkness, and deep darkness, the people, the deep darkness is deception. That's the enemy's strategy. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Ain't nothing going to happen till you get up. Nothing's going to happen until every individual rises up. Now, how do you rise up? One, you've got to do what the word says, but it starts on your face. Because if you're going to stand up with the Lord, you got to be on your face in brokenness. Amen. So this indicates that there is a life of prayer that God is calling his people to. And I'm not talking about trying to see what I can get from him. I'm talking about a life of consecrated prayer, a life where you commit yourself totally to the Lord, to hear his voice and to do his bidding. He may just tell you to sit still for an hour. But he says, arise. And I like the Amplified Bible because it says, arise from the place of prostration that circumstances has forced you into. You've been living under the dominion of circumstances and limitations. But keep in mind, in the book of Micah, it says that the Lord, he burst the confinements and led us out past the gate into an open place. So the enemy that held the gate, the Lord walk us past the enemy. So when you walk past the enemy, there are demon guards that have been assigned to hold people hostage. And they intimidate folks. Jesus said, I'll lead you out past them. That ain't sneaking past them. That's dealing with them. You ain't running. You won't do that to nobody else. Come on now. You know if somebody been messing with you and picking on you and taking your lunch money and drinking up your milk and, you know, while you everybody else eating and you crying. You sitting at the table crying because the bullies, the big old football players took your lunch. And then the Redeemer shows up and say, now take your lunch tray back. You punish them. And there's nothing they can do about it. I'll beat them for every tray. I'm getting you for every carton of milk of mine that you drank. And then I'm going to take your billfold, I'm going to take your money, and I'm going to start taking your lunch money. And your brothers and your sisters. And fool with me, I'll go to your house and mess with your mama and your daddy. That's the kind of attitude you got to have. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's a shift. Because if you've been crying, now you're taking. But you got to get up first. He says, arise and shine. Arise. You, in arising, you got to step into who he has already declared you to be. So that means your declaration about yourself has got to change. Oh. Verse 4, lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar. Your daughter shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy because the abundance, the season of abundance, the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. Wait a minute. It was flowing in a direction that missed you. But in this season, God says, I'm going to turn this abundance into your direction. I don't think y'all hearing this. He says, I'm doing this. I'm going to turn this abundance in your direction. But you got to be up. I say, you've got to be up. Tell your neighbor, say, you've got to get up from there. He said, I will turn the abundance in your direction. The abundance of the sea. The abundance of the sea, here's what it actually means. It means forces. It means wealth. It means the city. I'll turn the city over to you. And that's what God's been wanting all the time. He's always been a God of cities. He always wanted his people running things. When the righteous are in control or in rule, there's peace. But the strategy of the enemy, because the Bible said that Satan is wiles of the devil. His strategies. He's a plotter. There's a method to the madness. But so is God. God is a strategist, the supreme strategist. But the plot of the enemy, the strategy of the enemy, has been get the people of God under his feet. And get them to think less of themselves and to believe that they're not worthy, because I know what they did last Friday. And when they try to rise up, I know what you did last Friday. And you go back down. And so he dominates. And then in the domination, all that belonged to you is stored up in secret places called treasures of darkness in secret places. But the Lord says, if you get up, the light, the glory of God will rest upon you. Light exposes all the secret places. And all the stuff that's held up in the secret places belong to the people of God. All the folks that Jesus died for, that belongs to the people. And God says, I need a people that will get up and allow my glory to rest upon them. And because you're up, did you know everything got eyes? Yeah, it has eyes. And he said the abundance of the sea will be turned to you, right? I'm speaking to you by the Spirit of God. The abundance of the sea, he said, I'm going to cause the abundance of the sea to be turned to you. When does the sea know when to turn? Psalms 114 talks about the Exodus. when the children of Israel got ready to, they left Egypt that night by the hand of God. And they get to the Red Sea, enemies on the left, enemies on the right. Pharaoh starts barreling down at them from the rear. And the Red Sea is in front of them. Psalms 114 says, Moses lifted up his rod of authority, and the sea saw it and fled. The sea saw the authority and fled. The sea saw it. So when is it going to be turned to God's people? When you stand up, then the sea will see you. Hey, it's already wired to flow toward God's people. It's those, I hope y'all are hearing this. It's when you get up. He said, arise, shine, for your light has come. Your light has come because your season has come. And God named this season the 11th hour paradigm shift. The 11th hour is the last hour before a new day. So everything that you ain't been able to get done for the last 23 hours, God says is going to happen in this last hour. That's all right. It'll come to you probably while you sleep. Look at verse 6. Well, it says, the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. We already talked to you about the camels. Look at somebody say, the camels are coming. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. This is almost mind-boggling to read it. But he said, this is the season. And so you got to be in.
Thank you for tuning into our broadcast. You have watched highlights of a sermon by Apostle Craig Banks. To order a DVD or audio CD of the full sermon, call our business office at 870-534-7378 or log on to our website at www.canonchristiancenter.org. Next on The Heart of the Servant.
It's when you get up. He said, arise, shine, for your light has come. Your light has come because your season has come. And God named this season the 11th hour paradigm shift. The 11th hour is the last hour before a new day. So everything that you ain't been able to get done for the last 23 hours, God says is going to happen in this last hour.
Thanks for joining us today on The Heart of the Servant. If you're in the Pine Bluff area, stop in and see us. Our service times are as follows. For a copy of our product catalog to correspond with Pastors Craig and Cheryl Banks, visit our website at CanaanChristianCenter.org. Canaan Christian Center, a church with a different color of ministry.